good and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we are sorry for so often putting faith in what we can see or do, rather than simply trusting your word and will. Please help us not to do what seems so natural, for we each are tainted by that terrible sin to the core. And would you please create within us real and true faith? Give us such a rock-solid faith in the completed work of Jesus Christ that we might not falter or faint amidst so many trying times within this world. For it is through Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection that we have peace with thee. And it is his name, Jesus, that we do pray. Amen. Our meditation for here this day is largely based upon our gospel lesson. Again, I would like to read this verse here from Luke chapter 2. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. The celebrations of Christmas 2018 are definitely in our rearview mirror. After the parties, the food, the gifts, and the services, the days after Christmas are characterized by leftovers, crumpled wrapping paper, and piles of boxes left out for the garbage man to collect. Now comes the rest of a long and very cold, probably, winter. Where do you go from here? What do you have planned? What will happen to you in this new year? There may be a lot of good things that could be coming, a confirmation in the family, graduation, marriage, children or grandchildren, a promotion, stability and prosperity. There may also come some unwanted troubles, strife at work or unemployment, family disagreements, a call from the doctor because he wants to run some more tests. What will happen to you from here? You have some plans, but you don't know for sure what's around the corner. So really, what can you be certain of? A man of mystery walked into the temple. I say it that way because we really don't know a lot about him. We know his name is Simeon, and that's about it. Some people picture him as a wizened elderly man who has led a good life of many years, but we don't really know that. He could be a 19-year-old still working on a full beard. Is he married? Widowed? Healthy? Sick? Does he have any kids? Grandkids? Has he had a good life? Or has he experienced many rough and trying days? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. It tells us his name is Simeon. The Bible also says that Simeon, I quote, was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, end quote. And that's why he had come into the temple. He had come to see the Messiah. And suddenly, he appears. The long-awaited Messiah is there. He has finally come to his temple. The Son of God became flesh to be the Savior of the world, and he is making his first incarnate visit to his Father's house. The prophecy is fulfilled. The Messiah is on the temple grounds. Yet nobody seems to notice. There's no huge royal procession. No trumpet fanfare, no huge entourage traveling with him as we so often see with famous people today, no paparazzi. No one seems to really care. Well, Simeon does. He knows because the Holy Spirit has told him. He confidently walks up to the Messiah and his parents who have carried him in. He boldly takes hold of the Savior. And there, out in the middle of all the other temple activities, he sings out so that everyone who hears will know, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." The Lord himself has come to his temple with salvation. He has come to redeem his people. This is such wonderful news that Simeon sings out a song of praise. Some of those around him might think that he's, well, a little nuts. These people in the temple have come here to worship the Almighty Lord who made the heavens and the earth. And this Simeon is holding a little 40-day-old baby in his arms, guarded by the most formidable entourage of, well, a rather looking dad and mom. Simeon isn't even singing toward the Holy of Holies, where the Lord dwells in his glory. He's looking to the baby in his arms and singing the strangest of lullabies. "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word." Like the baby has words. Like the baby is in a position to send Simeon anywhere. If someone was to go by what their eyes alone saw, they would likely look past the Savior. But Simeon doesn't put his faith in just what his eyes see. He goes by that word of God that the Holy Spirit has brought into him. People then, as well as still today, look for some glorious display of power to prove God's work. But true faith, even as Simeon displayed, is not based on sight. It simply believes and holds fast to the word of God. That cute little baby boy he cradles in his arms is the Son of God incarnate. He is Emmanuel, God with us, present with his people as God and man. He has come to be with his people to bring peace, salvation, light, revelation, and glory. Don't let the diaper and tiny toes fool you. This is the Lord of heaven and earth. And though that toothless mouth can't yet form words, he has been speaking from eternity. He is there, true to his word. And by faith, Simeon acknowledges his Savior and rejoices in his salvation. He embraces the Word made flesh, and he is forgiven for all of his sins through what this baby Jesus would do for him. That's why Simeon could depart in peace. What happens to Simeon after this? Well, we once again don't really know. He disappears from Scripture. Traditionally, we assume that he's an old man who dies and is called to glory soon after. On the other hand, he could have had 40 years of life left before he dies. Maybe a good life. Maybe one that had many trials and hard times. But Simeon departs in peace because God had been faithful and God kept his promise. The virgin has conceived and bore a son, and his name is Emmanuel. The Lord came to his temple, where Simeon held and beheld him. The prophecies will continue to be fulfilled. Jesus the Messiah would make the lame see, and the deaf hear, and the mute sing out, and the lame leap for joy. And for doing such wonderful things, he would be stricken, smitten, and afflicted. He would bear our iniquities as he would be pierced unto the wooden tree of the cross. He would be accursed as his bones were out of joint and his robe was gambled away. All this would take place so that these promises of God will be kept. Promises that God had made unto his people for pardon and peace. And God was indeed faithful. All of those promises would be kept, which is why Simeon could depart in peace. It doesn't say that he departed to peace, where everything was rosy for him for the rest of his days. God doesn't promise that. I'm sure there were still trials ahead. And because of his sins, he would still face physical death. But he would not have to face that alone. He had true peace with God through the working of his Savior. Jesus had come to redeem him. And though he had real and lasting life, real and lasting peace, even as he approached the end here of his life within this world. Back to those questions I first asked. Each one of us has no idea what's going to happen to us tomorrow, even with all the best and most carefully made plans. We just don't know. Not knowing can lead to all kinds of temptations. We can be tempted to worry. It's okay to be a little concerned about the future and to plan ahead. But if we worry, we can doubt God's will and God's faithfulness. We can become upset when things don't go exactly as we desire or as we plan. I think one of the reasons we don't like not knowing is because not knowing means we have to live by trusting, which is also called living by faith. And to live by faith does not feel very natural to many of us. It isn't natural to put our trust into what we can't see and what we can't feel. We want to trust what we can do with our own two hands and with our own hard work. Yet God has revealed to us that there is a problem to our hard workings. We are each infected and affected by that terrible condition called sin. And it's because of this terrible condition that we are not able to do really good and perfect things. We have sinful, self-seeking motives in the things that we do, and the words we often express, and many thoughts that we have in our heads. And that's why we have to look somewhere else than to ourselves. We instead need to look to someone who was and is truly perfect. We need to look to that baby in Simeon's arms. For he would grow and live a perfect life in everything that he said and in everything that he did. That little baby is the one who would grow and bear your sins upon a cross when he was pierced through for me and for you. That little baby would rise again upon the third day, and he would ascend into heaven. He would promise, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He was there when you were washed clean in the waters of holy baptisms, as we saw beautifully here this morning with little Emma. Christ was there as that word was being taught unto you in all those Bible stories as a child. And he was there as you heard his words, "Take, eat, this is my body, take, drink, this is my blood for the forgiveness of your sins." That same body and blood that Simeon held and beheld is the same one that you go to unto the cross for you. It's the same body and blood that would die for you. It's the same body and blood that would rise for you and which will still come for you. That's why, after we commune so often, we join together in singing those same beautiful words of Simeon. "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." for it's after communion that we also have, like Simeon, beheld our Savior. We don't just look to what our eyes could see, just as Simeon didn't look just to those tiny toes and that little of tassel of hair that he held in his arms. We look with faith unto those words of promise from God. We know and believe this by faith, not by sight. And it's with this faith that we will leave here this morning. We may not know what the future holds. We can't see that. But we don't just operate based on what we can see with our eyes. Sometimes it's at those tough times where we can't see what we need that the Lord truly works in the greatest ways. We will move forward looking to that little one who was held up in the arms of Simeon. Across this nation, many people today will be watching the last football games of the season. Back in 2010, Drew Brees, the quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, had a special moment at the end of the last game of that year. As he stood with his son lifted up in the air, he said, "I stood there with my little boy, and I was overwhelmed. I told Braylon how much I loved him and how much he meant to me and what an inspiration he was to me. I thought of my family and friends who were there watching. We did it, little boy. We did it," he said. That moment, holding his little son up in the air, was a landmark moment for him that is forever cherished in his mind. May you have such a moment when you next receive communion. You will have something happening far more important than some confetti raining down as time expires on a football field. As you come forward to see within your upraised arms, not your own child, but the very child or son of God. He came as was promised. He bore your and my sins, suffered, died, and rose again for you as was promised. He did it. Jesus really and truly did it. And it's with such faith in Jesus as our Lord that we can sing as Simeon did, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant," that's me, "depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for me." Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep our hearts and our minds and our faith in this Christ child, Jesus Christ our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen. Let's gather our offering.